Psalm 87. What a precious little psalm this is. He, that is God, he has set his foundation on the holy mountain. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are said of you, O city of God. I will record Rahab and Babylon among those who acknowledge me. Philistia too, and Tyre along with Cush, and will say, This one was born in Zion. Indeed of Zion it will be said, This one and that one were born in her, and the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord will write in the register of the peoples, This one was born in Zion. As they make music, they will sing, All my fountains are in you. Psalm 87. What a precious psalm, I say. What is it about? Well, it's quite clear. It's about Zion, Jerusalem, the Temple Mount. God has set his foundation on the holy mountain. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Zion, Zion, Zion comes over time and again in this short psalm. The Holy Mount, the habitation of God, the place in Jerusalem where the Lord dwelt among his people. The psalmist is setting a song for Israel, that they might sing to the praise of God the glories of Zion, rejoicing in the house of God. Now, clearly he's speaking, even in his own day, of more than just the physical building. This one was born in Zion. This one and that one were born in her. This one was born in Zion. Well, very few, if any, were born actually within the temple precincts. But surely it's the spiritual, even in the psalmist's own day, the sons of Korah, this psalm, even the singers in those days would have been rejoicing in the spirituality of the temple and their connection with the temple and their delighting in God within the place of Zion where God dwelt among his people. But of course in the Old Covenant it was bound up with that physical mount, that physical building. I say the Holy Temple, but in itself it was just materials. But God's own presence was there, because it was all symbolic. And the real meaning of this psalm, as the real meaning of all scripture, is found in the fulfillment in the new covenant. And in the new covenant, the temple comes over as a motif, as a paradigm, as a picture, as an illustration. Oh yes, the new covenant has the temple. Scriptures tell us that the individual believer is the temple of the Lord. The Spirit of God dwells in every individual believer. We are individually, as believers, I address all believers, brother and sister, we are, you are, a temple of the Holy Ghost. God the Spirit lives within us. But it's not only the individual believer in the New Covenant age that is the temple of the Lord. The temple in the New Covenant is the ecclesia too, the body of believers, the church, the assembly. As I say, the ecclesia, the called out ones. Again, there are scriptures which speak of the corporate temple of the Lord, the body of the Lord, the believers. 1 Peter chapter 2, there are passages in Corinthians. As for the individual believer, so for the corporate, the ecclesia. Individually, the Spirit dwells in every believer. But in the assemblies of his people, Christ is there by his Spirit. Where two or three are gathered together, in my name, there am I. He is among us by his Spirit. We are a house of God as believers. But above all, in the new covenant, Christ is the temple. And that, of course, is why this, the individual believer and the ecclesia are the temple too. It's because Christ is the temple. John's gospel makes this so plain. The Lord came and tabernacled among us. The Word was made flesh. God dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God with us. Full of grace and truth. The Spirit was in him. And time and again, Christ speaks of himself as the temple. Destroy this body, this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it again, speaking of his body. He cleansed the temple. He was the Lamb of God to be sacrificed in the temple. He is the light of the world. He is the bread of life. He is the laver of regeneration. He is all in all. Christ is all. He is the temple. The Spirit is in him. God is in him. So Christ is a temple. The ecclesia is the temple. And the individual believer is the temple. Now we can read this psalm in the light of that. God has set his foundation on the holy mountain. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are said of you, O city of God. Christ, the ecclesia, the believer. Indeed, of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her. And even the pagans too, Rahab, Babylon, Philistia, Tyre, Cush, they will all say, from these tribes and kindreds and people, there will be people saying, I was born in Zion. I am in Christ. I have the Spirit. I've been regenerated. It's what Christ said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. The Spirit must come in you and regenerate you. Indeed, of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her, and the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord will write in the register of the peoples, this one was born in Zion. Unto them that received him, he gave the right to become the children of God, even them that were born, not of the will of man, alone in the flesh, but of God, written in the Lamb's book of life. As they make music, they will sing, all my fountains, all my springs, all my rejoicing are in you. The Spirit, the gathering of God's saints, and above all, in Christ. This is what Psalm 87 is about for the believer in the new covenant. He's speaking of us. I'm sure the psalmist had no inkling, really, of the depth and the breadth and the wonder of what he was saying. In his own day, he rejoiced in it. I'm sure he elevated it beyond the physical building. And he had a glimmer of the future. But now we can see clearly, Christ is this great temple, the ecclesia, and the individual believer. What a privilege, brother and sister, is ours. Let us rejoice today that we are members of Christ, members one of another, and the Holy Spirit is in us individually. We are stones built into this holy temple, and we are priests and kings unto God. Unbeliever, you have to be born again. You have to be brought into Christ, otherwise you will perish. You have to repent and believe. You have to come to Christ and know him. You have to be a member of Zion. You have to be born again. Unless a man is born again, as Christ said to Nicodemus, you will never see the kingdom. You will never enter the kingdom. That's why I put up these discourses, hoping that throughout the world, it says here, Rahab, Babylon, Philistia, Tyre, Cush, wherever these words go, wherever the sound reaches, may it be that someone will hear and be brought to everlasting life through regenerating grace, brought into Christ, and become a blessed inhabitant of Zion. I'll close with a hymn by Isaac Watts. He majors on the church, on the ecclesia, the church as the temple. And it's true, that's good. But I would bring it to the individual believer as well, and above all, take it to Christ. And that's the way I'm going to read this hymn. In the light of Psalm 87, here is Watts's hymn. God in his earthly temple lays foundations for his heavenly praise. He likes the tents of Jacob well, but still in Zion loves to dwell. His mercy visits every house that pay their night and morning vows, but makes a more delightful stay where churches meet to praise and pray. What glories were described of old, what wonders are of Zion told. Thou city of our God below, thy fame shall Tyre and Egypt know. Egypt and Tyre and Greek and Jew shall there begin their lives anew. Angels and men shall join to sing the hill where living waters spring. When God makes up his last account of natives in his holy mount, 'twill be an honour to appear as one new-born or nourished there. Yes, I would sing that hymn. The individual believer, yes. The churches, yes. But above all, Christ. I rejoice that God in his mercy has regenerated me. He indwells me by his Spirit. He has joined me to his people. And above all, I am in Christ, the glorious temple of the Lord. And I put up these discourses and I write my pieces and books and I do my video clips. Why? Because I want many, many others round the world to hear of Christ, to be regenerated by the Spirit, to repent and believe, to come into Christ and be nourished and edified and established and sanctified in him. When God makes up his last account of natives in his holy mount, 'twill be an honour to appear as one newborn or nourished there. I hope that this little discourse may do something to bring some poor sinners from death to life and to nourish the saints of God.